Welcome to 2018. I know it took a lot of work, but collectively we did it. We pushed the calendar into 2018. Or maybe we just surrendered and allowed it to happen. The more I learn about this whole science, this whole physics, this whole planetary rotation, the more I realize it doesn't take any work from us at all, actually. We just kind of have to chill. And the sunsets keep happening, the orbits keep happening, the years keep happening. But I digress. Happy 2018! Whee! Hopefully you had a night that was filled with whatever it is that you wanted to be filled with. Or whatever it was that you needed it to be filled with. Maybe we can all just take a collective breath in through the nose and out through the mouth to just kind of center ourselves in this new calendar. In through the nose, out through the mouth. I'm Halcyon. This is the first broadcast of 2018. This is Hug Nation. Do this at least once a week, broadcasting live, archiving for podcast listeners, as well as YouTube listeners and viewers. And this is a loop of energy. It is a experience that happens outside of the definitions of time and space, but in the realm of intention and in heart. And whenever you need to tap into the Hug Nation vibration, you can hit play and release that into your world. And as you release it into your world, you become an amplifier, an ambassador. Because we have no choice but to impact the world. Some people say, you know, they go out and, like, you know, this year, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to go out and do something important and make this and go get and do, And I would say, okay, that's a given. You have no choice but to make an impact on the world. No matter what. The definition of being in existence is to have an impact. Now, you can cultivate, you can curate, you can garden and fine-tune and adjust and prune. Look at me rhyming all the time, and as this 2018 becomes fresh like Listerine. Oh, I thought I was going to start this year without silly songs. Apparently, that is not true, but that you knew. I think this is the year to embrace sacred silly for me, in a big way. But what did I want to talk about today? What did I really want to focus on as the theme for today's broadcast? And that is on picking some words to be the guideposts as we move forward into the new year. Last year, my friend Betsy asked me on New Year's morning to pick a word, and I picked honor. And as I look back at this year, I think it was a great word for me to pick, and it was one that I maybe lost track of at times. And maybe that's some of the reasons why this year was challenging for me, is because I did lose my footing and lose sight of my intentions and my goals for myself. At the same time, I'm a big believer that surrendering and letting go of your strict plan is the good idea, and that getting too attached to the way you're supposed to be doing things is problematic and actually keeps you from the magic that is revealed to you when you allow things to happen. So it's kind of this balance. I had a great talk last night with my friend Michael about, he said that he had this epiphany of the only thing that was wrong in his life, in his relationships, in his family, in his career, was that he was trying too hard. And that he had all of the things that he needed to be happy, to be content, to be present with love and all that he wanted out of life. But he kept slipping into this desire for more, desire for better, desire for excellence that pulled him out of the joy of the present moment, of the perfection, of the gift of all the accomplishments and all of the wonder and awe and love that was so present in his life. And he talked about this fulcrum between excellence and fun. And when you have too much fun, you lose any sort of creation of excellence. But if you get too attached to excellence, you no longer enjoy the process. You no longer enjoy the experience of being human. And so it's this fulcrum, this sweet spot, as I like to say often, between somewhere on the spectrum. And I really like that. I think that's something that that is helpful for me as a guide going into this next year and always. But, you know, as when you have lap marks on a year, whether it's a birthday or a new year or an event as it comes around again, you know, every Burning Man, it's nice to look and go, oh, so much has happened since last year, or we've upgraded so much in the, you know, in two laps around the sun, we've made all of these adjustments and improvements, or we've lost track and we can compare it to where we were on the track 2 years ago. Of course, reminding yourself that the lap marks are arbitrary. There is no calendar. There is no day markers or month markers or year markers in the cosmos. There is nobody ripping off sheets at the end of the day or month and, you know, critiquing you if you write the wrong number on your checkbook. We just arbitrarily pick these days, but we can use them as tools. And that's a good reminder, too, to not get too obsessed about the lines we draw. They are tools. They should help us. They can give us the guidelines, the discipline to achieve what makes us feel good to, while also maintaining that balance between excellence and fun, between achievement and joy, or relaxation and productivity, between you name it. And I think a lot of the spiritual path and the human experience is about finding the sweet spot in these ranges. And also, I think that's another thing, good thing to remember is when you find yourself being critical of someone else and their decisions, there's a good chance it's because they have chosen a different sweet spot in some slider. And so as you are critical, try to not judge, but instead understand the slider and what choices, whether consciously or unconsciously, they have made so that they are in their sweet spot. People make the best decisions they can with what they've got, with where they're at. And even a bad decision that results, bad quote-unquote decision that results in bad quote-unquote consequences can be an absolutely ideal outcome to provide the classroom, to provide the growing opportunity. I had an experience last night, and you know, as the year has been coming to an end, I have been not always in the yippee mentality, and that's something that often as the year is ending, as I put together a list of things that happened this year, it helps me to really remember all the things that happened, and all the good things, and all the accomplishments. And that helps me to shift my mood in a positive way. And this year, and I'll get into it a little bit more, but I was really not in a super optimistic rah-rah, patting myself on the back and looking at the light ahead that we're all headed towards. Not all the time. And I had this moment last night where I was not having the best time. Even though I was surrounded by people I love and I was by all, you know, a snapshot of the experience is everything that I wanted. People I love, intimate and good conversations. And I was still really not. And so when people asked me how things were going, I was really struggling because I wanted to say, awesome. And sometimes I did say that. And I felt a little out of integrity. And so I was trying to answer in ways that were more truthful, you know. Some things are going amazing and some things are a struggle. But I also had spent some time by myself, kind of excused myself from the festivities that I was at, and tried to not avoid the thoughts and the fears and the judgments that were causing me to have negative experiences, and instead trying to acknowledge or seek what is it in this anxiety or this struggle or this lack of peace that is the lesson or the classroom for me right now? What about this dichotomy between the perfect now moment and these thoughts? What in there is the opportunity for me? What is unhealed for me in that space? And I found that to be, I didn't suddenly snap into, aha, yay, now it's all figured out, it's all perfect. But it did allow me to avoid the potential spiral of then like beating myself up for not having a good time at this great party with great people. And I think it's also, it's part of part of growth for me, especially where I'm at is, you know, in the fun, excellent spectrum, sometimes I really prefer to be in the fun area and to recognize that there's something going on in my, that's causing me anxiety is, that means there's a place for growth. Yay, opportunity for growth. thanks, 2018. Way to start me on track. So I mentioned three words. And you can pick as many as you want. It is helpful, I think. I mean, it's awesome if you can pick one. I was really struggling. And in fact, the words that keep coming to my mind, I keep thinking of like, oh, okay, here are my second tier of words. And here's some more words. And the first word that I thought of last night when Betsy asked me again this year, because she asked me last year, and she asked, I said faith. And I'll try to unpack that word for me. And I think one of the things that I have struggled with this year is slipping out of faith, forgetting my faith in this grand cosmic unfolding of life and light and love in the universe. And as I lose that faith, I become caught up in the day-to-day news and the day-to-day anger and frustration and pessimism. And I get, I fail to see solutions. And in doing so, I'm losing faith and I'm falling back into my intellect and my mind. And I'm falling back into strategy and I'm falling back into other people's minds and thoughts and strategies and egos and in that place of logic, because I don't know how we work through some of the tensions in the world today. In putting my faith in thought and mind and ego, I'm not having faith. I'm letting go of my faith in what's larger than me, what's larger than all, what is the one. And there are times in my life when I'm very dialed in with that faith. And this year was one where I feel like I lost it pretty frequently. And there is a fulcrum, there is a spectrum in there that I'm still working with it, and that is, you know, faith versus activism. You know, you can't have so much faith that everything works out and everything happens for a reason. So much faith that you don't, you know, reach out to help when someone needs a hand. Just saying, it's all going to work out. You know, or, oh, you know, if they starve or they freeze to death tonight, you know, so it is. I think that there needs to be some balance. You can't save everyone. You can't avoid all fun in the attempt to be of service to everyone until everyone is relieved of pain. I don't think that that is the path of a human conscious experience. But so it's trying to find this balance, and I think that the tensions of this year politically made it very challenging for me to keep my faith. So faith is a big one for me, and I don't even know what it looks like. I just know that if I don't have faith, my energy diminishes and my ability to show up in the world diminishes, because I start to feel like, what's the point? How does this matter? And the more I open my eyes, the more painful it is. But I think with faith, then I can give myself permission to be present in the areas where I can maintain joy and love and connection and gifting and service in ways that don't diminish me in so much. I saw some quote online last couple of days, and it was like, you know, when I was a young man, I wanted to change the world, and then I realized that was too hard, so I wanted to change my family, and then I realized that that was too hard, and so all I could really do was change myself, and then I realized that if I changed myself, as an old man, I realized if I would change myself, then that would end up changing my family, and that would end up changing my community, and then that would have ended up changing the world. And I think that is, maybe that is the extended expression of faith for me in 2018. My second word for 2018 is listen. And there's two forks to listen for me. One is in literally listening. In this format of a live broadcast or an archived broadcast, I'm talking. I'm not listening. It's a very intentional window of me expressing and trying to channel and trying to allow and trying to speak, and I'm really not listening, especially during the beginning. At the end of the broadcast, I try to tune in and read comments and be a little bit more attuned to voices beyond my own. So I'm really talking about outside of this moment, outside of Hug Nation, but in the moments when I am around other people, and as I, you know, am reminded over and over again of the gifts that so many people have to share. Everyone has perspectives to share. Anyone who is speaking authentically, even in ignorance, has something beautiful to share if you listen. And like when I say ignorance, I mean like a child is not well informed in the world, but their authentic expression can be profound if you listen. And so I want to guide myself to listen more in this year. And that's to listen to external voices. And then the second part of listening for me is listening to my internal guidance. I become more aware of, you know, the difference between internal guidance and an external. And as we become so guided by our devices, you know, we now have a device that we plug in an address and it will get us there. We ask it a question, and even if we spell it wrong, we will learn about that. But what does not happen, because these devices are quote unquote perfect, they give you the exact answer you're looking for, you do not get the answers that you're not consciously looking for. You do not get lost and run into the place you're supposed to be on a more spiritual plane. And you don't learn about the things that you're supposed to learn about, supposed to, quote unquote, but you know, that your non-logical, non-ego mind is craving or seeking or trying to lead you to. You know, at Burning Man, the Playa Magic, you know, people getting lost in it in a dust storm is often the experience that profoundly demonstrates this magic that is ever present, but you don't experience it if you don't surrender to it. And so I'm very aware at this chapter, this time in our history, as we become so device dependent, that we are silencing we are becoming disconnected with a magic that I don't think we fully understand, especially in the modern world. We have faith in science. We do not have faith in our internal guidance. But, you know, as a scientific culture, but a lot of people do have faith in it, and a lot of people will swear by it. I met a neighbor recently who, as we started to get to know each other, he started to share story after story of how his life is guided by answers to prayers. And, you know, as a scientific thinking person, and as I know a lot of people that I know and a lot of people that tune in here have been betrayed in some ways by traditional religion. And traditional religion has betrayed many people. There's definitely been a lack of integrity and authenticity in a lot of religious faiths and dogmas and organizations. But at their core, there is a truth that many people experience in terms of surrender. And if you can let go of the specifics of what people pray to or what people surrender to, there is something that is real that people can become aligned with and benefit from and be profoundly changed and gifted to from this thing that is outside of us when we surrender to it. Maybe it's outside, maybe it's inside, but it's not ego, it's not logic, it's not conscious. Google cannot give it to you, explain it to you, provide it for you. And so I struggle when people have all sorts of tools that they use to access this magic. And I'm using the word magic, but you know, you could call it God or you could call it whatever you want. You know, I have friends that are super into pendulums and tarot and the stars and their altars and their crystals. And I mean, there's probably an infinite number of tools to align you with this guidance that I'm talking about, ways to listen. So I'm simply going to say listen is my word without a definition or a strict appearance of what that looks for, but trying to listen more to the things that are available outside of this scientific technical world that I have kind of given a lot of my faith to. And my last of my three words of the year is body. And I realized that this year I'm going to turn 47 years old, which is half the age that Grandpa Caleb was when he passed away. So he was 94. 47 plus 47. And that kind of hit me when I did that math, because there's a part of me that feels like I'm retired and I'm just finishing things up and I'm kind of like, what else do I need to do? And all right, kind of, you know, killing some time until eventually I have to go to a, you know, retirement community. And I'm like, wait a minute, wait, is it possible that I'm only half done? That is terrifying to me. And so my body as a source of focus for this year is my way of trying to honor this vessel as something that I could be living in for a long time. And things that I may have given up on is like not worth the hassle. Like, you know, I've got a shoulder injury that's been plaguing me for a long time, and I've got knee problems that I've had for decades. But I just kind of feel like, oh, my years of being active are over, big deal. But when I think about, wait, I'm only half done? And I'm going to just like not run for the next however many years? And that seems crazy. And so I feel like investing in my body, even if that means going to a dentist or having a practice of massage or a chiropractic or physical therapy. I actually went on a jog yesterday. I've been walking on the beach with my shoes off, trying to practice grounding trying to spend time touching the earth. And I just kind of got my momentum going in the soft sand and jogged for, I don't know, probably half a mile. But I hadn't done that in a very long time, and it kind of made me think and start to think that, you know, maybe I can prioritize my health and my body this year. Maybe I can integrate this honoring that I maybe didn't do so well last year into the body temple. And, you know, in the last few weeks I have been exercising more, whether it's walking and some, you know, minor push-ups, pull-ups, sit-ups, things. And I feel like that's helping me to feel better in a mental place. So body is a broad term for viewing the next few decades of my life. And also into listening to the body, not just my health, but it, kind of going back to listen and to listening to my body when I feel anxious, what are the physical sensations of it and how can I address them rather than let them steer me? Or if I feel guided to speak to somebody, or if I feel uncomfortable in a situation, and a lot of overlap, I think, for me in body and listen. So I've got kind of a handful of other words that have been, that kind of keep, oh, what about this, what about this, what about this? And I reserve the right to change them in any moment. A couple other things that I want to, you know, put on my goals or intentions for the next year. And these are not specific intentions. I don't have that much courage or momentum yet in this year to say, I'm going to do this. Maybe I'm going to work on that over the next couple of days, of maybe make a list of things I've already started, of things that I would like to make happen. But I want to work on decision-making. And I've realized that in aspects of my desire to float more, steer less, and go with the flow and not offend, and maybe it's even fear of failure, or there's a bunch of things in play, but I've been wishy-washy with some decisions, and I've been or afraid to make decisions or commit to things. You know, on New Year's Eve, I was in bed at 6 p.m. I took a nap, and then I ate some candy because I hadn't committed to doing anything on New Year's Eve. And by not committing and not, you know, telling anybody no and telling anybody yes and worrying about this person or that person, I just didn't make any choices, and built myself this situation of depression. And so then I ate candy, which made me feel crappy. But it all stemmed from my unwillingness to risk and take a chance. And so that's another one of my words, is risk. Risk and invest. And that's in every realm, in terms of financial and energy and time and projects. And that goes back to some of that spectrum and stuff about the risk plays a role in a lot of those things. I'd like to be more willing to, when I address the year at the end of 2018, share some big failures that I was willing to risk and share those with a sense of pride, because that will be an accomplishment. So if I ask you something this year and you turn me down, thank you. Of course, if you don't turn me down, thank you in advance as well. I guess the last one that I'll share before we move on to other topics and other conversations is help. I want to ask for more help this year. Specific help. Not just, I need help, but be very clear and specific about things that I would like help with, and ask people who, not just who are bored and have time, but ask people who may have skills and talents, and you know, if professionally ask for help, find people who are experts and pay them for their time, because these are all related, because there's aspects of risk for me in involving other people in a project. It exponentially increases my anxiety about fear of a failure or making the wrong decision, and then I have other people involved, and then I have more resources involved, and it becomes this. And so all of these things work together in terms of more risk, more people, but potentially more if I can be listening, perhaps. Well, and then back to faith. If I have faith and I'm listening, it will lead to exactly where it's supposed to go, regardless of if it's successful, quote unquote, or if it is, or who knows? Let's say it's successful in one definition, but ends up being disastrous in others. And I just need to know that if I be present, have integrity, align with love, that those projects, those paths, that energy will be perfect, right?
Stay tuned for more Hug Nation.
You know, as the year was ending, there are a few big things there that I was thinking about and that had a lot of impact on my mindset. One of them was the Facebook memories. And, you know, if you spend any time on Facebook, you know, every day they give you a look back at your memories. And I have been devouring those because I've got some of them go back like 10 years. And then the adventures and the parties and the outfits and the hairdos and the relationships and the, you know, children's lives, and the projects and the triumphs, it's amazing, but it can be complicated. You know, getting a trip down a relationship memory lane can be super beautiful and sometimes very tough. And one of the things that I've struggled with is I keep getting, it reshares with me some video that I made years ago about a topic that I'm still talking about every few months, whether that is faith or listening or optimism or love or whatever. And so to see me be confronted with these same issues year after year after year. And then as I watch the video, I'm like, oh, this is great insight on this issue. And yet I forget it again. And then I have the epiphany. And I go, oh my gosh, look what I learned. And I share it. And then 2 years later, I forget it. And I have the epiphany. And then I share it. And so as these videos are coming up, there's sometimes this feeling of like, well, what's the point? I mean, on one hand, that's kind of like, what's the point in eating, you know? You eat yesterday and you're hungry again today. And I think it's requiring me to shift from a spiritual growth mentality to a spiritual practice mentality. And I was talking to a friend and said, you know, should I even keep making these videos? Should I just repost the old ones? And they said, of course you should keep making them. I'm like, why? And they go, because that's who you are. Right. So if you're listening to this one, then thank you. It's who I am. And connecting to you is why I'm here. Other reasons too, but that's a big part of it, I believe. I did post a meme this last week, and I talked about this a little bit yesterday if you were here or listening in. There was a Facebook meme that said, you know, even if we rarely talk, share a memory, a fond memory of us together. And, you know, it's definitely kind of a fishing for compliments kind of thing to do, but as I said, the end of the year has been tough for me, and so I was like, you know what, I could use some some warm and fuzzy thoughts to get this year finishing in a more upbeat way. But I did not expect or anticipate the depth of joy that would be revealed to me and the powerful memories from some people that I know very, very well and some people that I've never met and people that I've met once. And these memories that people were sharing, it was the experience of attending my own funeral. You sometimes go to a funeral or see one in a movie and everyone is saying such nice things about a person and you wonder, oh gosh, did they ever say this to this person while they were alive? And what a shame that if this person never knew how they were seen by friends and family. And so as I was reading through this thread, it was this very moving experience of wow, people see me this way? Because there were some of the things that were shared that were very much different than the way I see myself. And even in that is an opportunity for me to grow and learn and try to feel why do I have so much judgment around myself in areas such as being me-focused and self-centered in some ways, and then other people see me as being so generous and so giving. And it was profound. There's this thread. I still wanna like share it with my parents and read through it and kind of really sit and anchor with some of these things. Because in a lot of ways, if I was reading this about somebody else, I'd be like, oh, that's how I'd like to be remembered. And the cherry on top of it all was last night I was hanging out with a bunch of amazing people. And, you know, it's the year end and everyone's saying beautiful things to each other. And I was hanging out with my friend Rhythm. And we used to get meals every once in a while, and it had been a while. And he said, let's schedule a dinner. And they said, you know what I would really like? It would mean a lot to me if we could schedule a time and you could come over and you could hang out with my children. And that I would mean a lot if they could meet you and you could meet them. I felt like that's kind of the nicest thing that anybody could say to you. As I've been kind of beating myself up about not having as productive a year and starting a bunch of projects that I didn't finish not having enough notches on my achievement board and gold stars and my calendar and not enough mastermind groups or excellence and not hustling enough, that a parent that I respect a lot wanted his kids to receive what I bring to the world. And I think maybe that's a good reminder is sometimes people, I do a lot of maybe woo high visibility things sometimes. But it doesn't matter. None of it means anything. The being present and loving to your children is the most important thing. So thank you to all the parents who, in addition to all of the struggles and the work and the financial stuff and the marriage relationship, that in addition to all of that, that you demonstrate and provide a role model of love to our future and the children, and doing so in a world that, as I've gone too deeply into in the beginning of this broadcast, that sometimes can be tough to stay optimistic in, to keep forging on. And when you can do that and role model optimism, love, and light to your children, you are a warrior, you are a hero. And if I can be of service to you going into 2018, it would be my honor. So, let's have the first Hug Nation hug of 2018, and grab yourself by the shoulders. And be grateful for this body in whatever state it's in, grateful for its ability to heal itself, its ability to share the sensations of this amazing fertile planet. And beneath the physical experience that we have in this body, acknowledging and thanking the thoughts, the mind, all the personalities and beliefs that we experience as our identity. It's just another level to our very fragmented, fractional, conscious experience of the world. But it's such a treat. What a joy to experience the mystery and the awe and the adventure and the excitement and the drama. But beneath the physical experience and beneath the thought and a personality experience, there is this purity, this love, this light that shines through us, that shines through all of us, even those we disagree with, even those that drive us crazy. We have conflict on the levels of thought and idea, not on the levels of love and light. So for this moment, let's surrender our physical experience. Let's surrender our mind, and let's just be the light, be the love, be the divine energy that flows through us. And take three breaths in that state of oneness, in that state of love that is all things on this planet, all beings on this planet, letting ourselves be beams of light as we take three breaths, starting in through the nose and out through the mouth. Last one. On behalf of Grandpa Caleb and all the love warriors, happy Hug Nation, happy New Year. I love you.